From our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
His continued refusal to comply with subpoenas hinders our ability to provide the oversight expected by the founders and demanded by our constituents. House Republicans promised to deliver a government that's accountable, and these resolutions are central to continue our effort to honor that pillar of the commitment to America.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. That was Chairman of the House Rules Committee, Texas Congressman Michael Burgess, earlier today as the Rules Committee prepared to advance a resolution holding Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. We'll get an update from the Hill when we talk with Tennessee Congressman Tim Burchett in just a moment. Also, the United Nations Security Council adopted a U.S.-backed resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza yesterday. The Biden administration says Israel supports the resolution, but do they really?
Israel regrets any harm to civilians, but it must be emphasized that Palestinians who cooperate with Hamas and take part in their war crimes are not uninvolved. This is the reality we face. The loss of life in Gaza is a tragedy. But if you don't put the blame on Hamas, you're advancing their strategy.
That was Israeli diplomat Reut Shafir Ben Naftali yesterday at the meeting of the UN Security Council. We'll talk about it. And Planned Parenthood is not happy about being caught saying they would help facilitate a 13-year-old girl crossing state lines for an abortion and conceal it from her parents. They claimed in court yesterday the request made in an undercover video was fictitious, and therefore it didn't happen. The state of Missouri sees it differently. Attorney General Andrew Bailey joins us with the latest in his efforts to hold Planned Parenthood accountable. And next month, Republicans will gather in Wisconsin to officially nominate Donald Trump as the Republican candidate for president. Delegates from the states and territories will also craft a party platform that lays out the GOP's policy priorities and principles for the next 4 years. I'll be there, and I'll be participating in that process once again. Ed Martin, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, is co-chair of the platform committee, and he joins us a little bit later here on Washington Watch to talk about a platform prayer initiative. So you don't want to miss that. And finally, you've probably heard about the latest manufactured controversy surrounding Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. Lauren Windsor, a self-described agnostic, bisexual, progressive journalist posing as a Catholic conservative at a private dinner, recorded Justice Alito's responses to her leading questions.
People in this country who believe in God have got to keep fighting for that, to return our country to a place of godliness.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you.
All right. Windsor says she is exposing the court's ideological bias. Honestly, I think she's exposing something else, and we're going to talk about it. FRC's Travis Weber is going to join me later for that discussion. The website, TonyPerkins.com, lots of resources there for you. Contact information for our guests, so be sure and check it out. Well, folks, I think you've realized by now biblical truth is under attack in our culture, and we must defend the faith, and FRC's leading the way. And right now, you can take advantage of FRC's $2.5 million challenge match and have twice the impact when you give before June the 30th. So join us in defending the faith. To do so, text the word DEFEND to 67742. That's DEFEND to 67742 and help us defend the faith in America. Yesterday in New York, the United Nations Security Council unanimously backed a ceasefire deal proposed by the Biden administration for Israel and Hamas. Now, Russia abstained from that vote. Well, earlier today, Israeli officials confirmed they are open to the plan, but only if it meets necessary conditions, including the destruction of the military and governing capabilities of Hamas, the freeing of all remaining hostages, and the assurance that Gaza will not represent a future threat to Israel. Has the Biden administration accurately represented this in the agreement, which they say accomplishes these aims? Joining me now to discuss this and more is Congressman Tim Burchett. He serves on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the House Oversight and Accountability Committee and the Transportation Infrastructure Committee as well. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Tennessee. Congressman Burgett, welcome back to the program. Good to see you.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me on, brother.
So you serve on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. What do we know about the UN Security Council and it aligning with Israeli priorities?
Well, anything dealing with the United Nations, I'm suspect of, Tony. As you know, I've not been a really big fan. I've championed the cause of defunding them, getting out of it, because they time and time again don't represent our interest, and our interest is in traditional Americans. This bunch running Washington right now is not traditional. I feel like this is not in Israel's best interest. There's three layers of this thing. The first layer is release some of the hostages. And the second is more along the same. And the third is all of them come back. The problem you've got is these people that came across the border, they're just murdering savages. They're demonic. I've seen the tapes of them, of what they did. And some of the people they pulled out were dead when they pulled them out. They killed them, and then they buried them out in the desert somewhere just to mess with the Israelis' heads. And some of the kids, we don't know where they are. And then you got to ask yourself, what in the world is the United States doing negotiating with terrorists? Hamas is a terrorist organization. And, this thing is just fraught with problems. Again, let Israel handle it. There's a reason Netanyahu does not want American troops on the ground. He saw what happened under the Biden administration. We pulled out of Afghanistan. 13 brave Americans were killed. They could have shot the suicide bomber more than once, but he was ordered to stand down. I asked that question, and it was found out in testimony in the committee through my questioning. So a lot of problems. Again, let Israel handle this. This is not our business. And United Nations is showing just how worthless and wrong they are once again.
Well, also troubling in the resolution at the very end, the last item is, quote, reiterates its unwavering commitment to the vision of a two-state solution where two democratic states, Israel and Palestine, live side by side in peace within secure and recognized borders consistent with international law and relevant UN resolutions. This is essentially giving up the heart of Israel. We've already heard from members of the governing party or the governing coalition in Israel that they won't go along with this. And I can't imagine that they're supportive of this.
No, and clearly this is just pure politics, Tony. As you know, Michigan's in play. It has a huge Middle Eastern population. The president needs Michigan. President Biden does. It's leaning towards Trump right now. Working people up there, union people, they're tired of this garbage. They just want to work for a living. They don't want their money supporting a bunch of men dressed up like women, things like that. So there's a lot more in play here than peace in the Middle East. I can tell you that. And once again, anytime we do anything with the United Nations, it is tainted at best.
Congressman, I want to get your response to this because we're seeing now more and more criticism in the wake of the weekend rescue of four Israeli hostages. Quite amazing to me, daytime rescue. But now the they're facing a lot of criticism because of the deaths that occurred of so-called civilians in Gaza as a result of rescuing those hostages. But civilians in Gaza were the ones holding the hostages.
Yeah, you even had a member of the media, as it's turned out, was involved in some of this. Yeah, this is not anything that comes out of the media in this country dealing with this is again, very suspect. This whole thing is it's unbelievable how fast this country, our learning institutions and our so-called intelligentsia have turned on our ally Israel. And this is another instance of that. These people are terrorists. They had kidnapped innocent civilians. Some of them are American citizens, as you know. And yet we want to play footsie with them. And we want to, go out with our hands out and our checkbook out, which, by the way, the third part of that of those negotiations, they're going to rebuild Gaza. And I think,
right,
which taxpayers are going to do that.
Very good point, Tim, because That's actually not stated in here, but it is specifically listed in here. So we're rewarding these terrorists who come across on October the 7th and brutally murder over 1,200 Israelis, take almost 250 back to their country, and many of them have been tortured for months. And we're going to reward them by rebuilding the city that they left, you know, that they ended up, their actions led to it being destroyed. And, by the way, we're going to throw in a little extra. We're going to give you a whole state to govern by yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think we ought to listen to what Netanyahu says. We're not going to do anything till we destroy the military wing of Hamas and their leadership, because that needs to be at the top of the list, because you're going to continue. Remember, this is the group that they brought in. The people in Gaza brought this group in. This is their doing. And so, yeah, these people are terrorists and they need to be treated as such. And any negotiation with them is bad. You know, the horrible thing is the innocent civilians, the uneducated folks fall into this trap. You know that. And I know that they're ones that's always going to get that are going to get obliterated. When Daddy was in the Pacific in the Second World War on Okinawa, you know, he went back for the 50th anniversary of Peleliu. He wouldn't go back for the 50th anniversary of Okinawa because of all the civilians that got killed and were mistreated by the Japanese. So, you know, this is what happens. It's unfortunate. We need to let Israel go in there and end this as fast as possible. That's going to save the most lives. And if the UN wants to end this thing, tell Hamas to release all the hostages.
Right. Hold Hamas accountable, not Israel. It's Hamas that's responsible for this. Final question for you, Congressman Tim Burchett. We've been tracking. I know the House Rules Committee is in recess at the moment. They've been debating the contempt of Congress charges against Attorney General Merrick Garland. What can you tell us?
Well, Merrick Garland obviously is hiding something. They released the written transcripts of it. Just not the audio of it. And now we're being told that there's things that were left out. So, you know, we've got a Justice Department that's scared against America. They are weaponized, and this is the tip of that spear. And I think we need to get to the bottom of it. Let's get them in there. Let's get them under oath. And granted, now the Republicans, there are probably not going to be enough of them to have enough guts to hold him in contempt. But dadgum, we ought to put it up there and let people know how their representatives voted.
So that vote, if it clears Rules Committee this evening, will be on the House floor tomorrow, supposedly. Do you think the votes will be there?
I think it's going to be really close. I do. I just don't have a lot of faith in some of my colleagues, and that's unfortunate. But I'm hoping that it, you know, I'm one of those guys that optimistically swings for the fence every time. So I'm hoping that it does. I'm praying that.
Well, we're going to be watching very, very closely. Congressman Tim Burchett, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today, my friend.
Thank you, Tony. And please ask folks to vote and to pray for your country.
Absolutely. Pray, vote, stand. That's always a good encouragement. Hey, Tim's one of the good guys on the Hill. All right. Last year, Planned Parenthood employees in Missouri were caught on video explaining how they transport minors out of state for abortions without parents' permission and knowledge. Now, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is going to join me after the break with an update on his lawsuit against Planned Parenthood that went to trial yesterday. All right. Also, much more Washington Watch to come, so you don't want to miss any of it. All right. Stay tuned.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. Help us defend the faith here in America. Between now and June 30th, we've got a challenge match of $2.5 million. So whatever you give will be doubled. So you can double your impact. Simply text the word DEFEND to 67742. That's DEFEND to 67742. And stand with us as we defend the faith. Yesterday, a hearing took place in a Missouri courtroom to consider Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey's lawsuit against Planned Parenthood for trafficking minors out of state to obtain abortions without parental consent. The allegations stem from a video recording that shows a man asking how he could take a 13-year-old girl to another state for an abortion without her parents finding out. Now, Planned Parenthood employees walked him through the process on camera, explaining they provide such services every day. Join me now to break down yesterday's hearing and explain what comes next in the effort to eradicate Planned Parenthood once and for all is Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. General Bailey, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me on.
So the biggest defense line I saw yesterday from Planned Parenthood is it said, well, this was all fictitious, therefore it didn't happen. But they
that certainly was not the tone and tenor in the video. Agents of Planned Parenthood were bragging about committing this conspiracy to conceal criminal offenses, sexual assaults against minors, criminal offenses like altering writings by taking off letterhead to obtain consent under false pretenses or deny parents the ability to consent to trafficking in minors out of state for abortions. And so, there's a presumption in the law that people don't brag about crimes. Why would they do that? That's why there's an exception to the hearsay rule for statements against interest. And that's exactly what we see on the video. Agents of Planned Parenthood bragging about criminal offenses. That alone indicates that they've done it in the past and a willingness to do it in the future.
Well, it also would sound like to me a conspiracy to commit a crime.
That's exactly right. And what's really frightening here is that, again, you've got a purported 13-year-old who comes in. 13-year-olds can't consent to sexual contact in the state of Missouri. So this was a sexual assault committed against a minor, a criminal offense. And the clinic was a mandatory reporter. They had a duty under the law to notify law enforcement so they could investigate this crime. And if you look at the reaction of the agents of Planned Parenthood in the video, not only are they willing to conspire to conceal that offense, they don't fulfill their affirmative obligation to report this offense under the law. They laugh and joke about it and brag about how they do this every day.
Let's unpack that for just a moment, General Bailey. So this was brought to their attention whether or not they didn't know if it was real or not, they thought it was real. But if someone came in trying to facilitate an abortion for a 13-year-old, you're right, that triggers the law. Would they not then be required even to follow up, even if they don't have names?
That's exactly right. And look, this is no different than when you've got law enforcement agents online posing as minors to determine whether or not there are sexual predators that are perpetrating against minors. This is no different. It doesn't matter that in this instance, the individual was not actually a 13-year-old who was pregnant. What matters is that these individuals admitted to past criminal behavior and evinced a willingness to commit crimes in the future.
So Planned Parenthood asked the judge to dismiss your lawsuit yesterday, saying that there was no evidence that we broke the law. What happens next?
Well, the judge took the case under advisement and will issue a ruling in the coming days or weeks, but we're confident in this lawsuit moving forward. Again, the video speaks for itself. That is evidence of the organization's willingness to violate the laws of the state of Missouri to do so willfully and knowingly. And it shouldn't surprise anyone. Look, Planned Parenthood has a documented history of willful violations of the health and safety laws, the parental notification laws, the record retention laws of the state of Missouri. My predecessor, Josh Hawley, exposed the fact that Planned Parenthood was using a moldy abortion machine on women. We're not talking about a machine that sat in the corner and they forgot to clean. We're talking about a machine they were actively using in the destruction of human life. My predecessor, Eric Schmidt, revealed through his investigation and lawsuit against Planned Parenthood that the organization's physicians were not providing the proper notification to the patients about the risky nature of the procedures they were performing and not retaining documents required by law. So anyone who thinks that Planned Parenthood is a legitimate healthcare organization is deceiving themselves. They've demonstrated a commitment to the destruction of human life over the health and safety of women and children.
Of course, they're now transitioning as well into transgender manipulation of children, because that seems to be where the money is now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, again, when my office launched an investigation in February of 2023 into a clinic in St. Louis that was mutilating children using dangerous puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and irreversible surgeries for children under 17 years of age, the clinic in St. Louis, we called for a moratorium. They declared that they were the only clinic providing those kinds of services in the state of Missouri. Subsequent investigation revealed that wasn't true. There was a shadowy and clandestine network of these clinics to include Planned Parenthood. And when we began our litigation against these clinics and the legislature began enacting a statute to prohibit these dangerous mutilating surgeries, Planned Parenthood accelerated their processes and tried to recruit more clients. They wanted to hasten the assembly line of destruction of human life.
General Bailey, let me ask you a question, because you are aggressively pursuing this, and you're not giving, you know, any safe harbor to Planned Parenthood and to those who would abuse children. Is this happening in many parts of the country because government is turning a blind eye?
Yeah, for far too long, Planned Parenthood has gotten a pass, and that makes no sense to me. Again, the laws of the state of Missouri matter to me as the chief law enforcement officer of the state, the chief legal officer of the state. And so, you know, when you've got an organization that repeatedly and willfully flaunts its violation of those statutes, health and safety statutes that matter, again, to patients that think they're getting health care when, in fact, the organization is pushing a social agenda ahead of the health and safety of its patients, that is troubling.
Final question for you, Attorney General Bailey. When can you do we expect to hear something from the judge? How long might this take?
You know, it could take up to a month. I doubt it'll take that long. We anticipate within the next 2 weeks we'll receive an order. And, you know, either side can appeal. But at the end of the day, this litigation is not going to be over with this decision. My guess is that my expectation is the court will allow this lawsuit to go forward and we'll get into discovery. And we will root out these pernicious efforts by Planned Parenthood to undermine the laws that are designed to protect the health and safety of women and children.
All right. Well, General Bailey, we look forward to an update when you hear from the court. And again, we appreciate you protecting the children and pursuing those who would exploit them.
Thank you, sir.
Attorney General Andrew Bailey. And, you know, folks, you're not going to hear stories like this in the legacy media. And this is why we're here, to give light to those who are fighting to uphold truth and to pursue those who would abuse the most vulnerable in our society. There's good reason to have the Stand Firm app because, as I said, the media is not going to cover this. And increasingly, we're seeing an effort to silence the voices of those on the right, conservative voices. So download the Stand Firm app. All right, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch after this.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
This is Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday. Be sure and download the Stand Firm app. Go to the App Store and download Stand Firm app. Lots of resources there for you, interactive. Communities, you've got different groups on there. It's interactive. You can also text app, APP, to 67742, and we'll give you a link. All right. Those of you who know the history of the Republican Party recognize that the GOP has long stood for life and human dignity in its party platform. And with this in mind, one organization, Phyllis Schlafly's Eagles, has called for 40 days of prayer for American renewal in preparation for the 2024 party platform. Now, the Republican Party will be gathering next month in Wisconsin. Now, this prayer period began on the anniversary of D-Day last week, and it'll last until the Republican National Convention on July the 15th. Joining me now to discuss this is Ed Martin. He is the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles and was recently appointed by the Republican National Committee as a deputy policy director of the platform committee. Ed, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Tony, and thank you for I was listening to you in the Stand Firm app. You know, so important right now for people to realize that they've got to stand up and be counted. And you and I talked about it offline. And also thank you for pushing so hard and being so steadfast in that effort.
Well, you I would say you fill big shoes there at Phyllis Schlafly's Eagles, because Phyllis for years, but way before, even probably before I was born, she was working. Yeah. On the party platform, but I had the privilege of working alongside her for a number of conventions to make sure the party platform preserved life, family, all the things that you and I care about. And you're not only involved in the process, but you're calling Americans to pray through this process. Yeah. Tell us why.
Well, let me give you one shout out, Tony. In 2016, when we really ended up with one of the great platforms, Phyllis called it the greatest platform of her life. And you were one of the key players there, you and your team. And she saw that. She knew that. And it was extraordinary. And for Phyllis, as you mentioned, she started in 1952 going to every convention. But as you point out, we got a lot of work to do on a platform, but we better get on our knees and pray. And so what happened was, about a week ago, I was talking to a couple of folks about this upcoming platform and the convention and the importance of these issues. And they said, what are you doing to pray? And I said, well, you know, and so we came up with this idea, 40 days. It happened. We looked at the calendar and realized it coincided perfectly. And, you know, there's not a magic. We're not having a special call. We're not having a special gathering. We're not trying to do. We're saying during these days, intentionally go to the Word of God and in prayer, pray for our country. And, you know, we're non-denominational in the sense we pray for Democrats, too, even though I don't have much hope in them. But we need to pray for all of our leaders of both parties. And as you point out, what is at stake is not small potatoes. The Republican Party platform has protected life. It's protected the family. It's protected a vision of a strong nation that is good for its neighbors by its strength. And all that is up for grabs in a culture that's in many ways is collapsing. So we're going to start with prayer. We're going to go back to the founders. George Washington was a good prayer, but we're going to go back to the founder and try to keep ourselves in the Word and pray right through all of this time, because we know, you know, the Lord will answer our prayers.
Well, and I commend you for that, Ed, because I agree with you 100%. Everything we do must start in prayer. That's why our motto is pray, vote, stand. We need to pray first. We need to vote yep. for those who align with those values. And then we need to stand for truth no matter what. I want to ask you this question, because some that are not as close to this process as you and I have been, yep. would say, you know, it's a party platform. What difference does that make?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, even like John Boehner a few years ago said, I don't even read that document. And Bob Dole said, you know, don't worry about that. But you and I know, first of all, in the beginning was the Word. Right. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. We know words are very important. And when you write it down in the platform, the Republican Party, this is our principles. This is hopefully what we govern with, but it's who we stand for. And I'll just give a quick example, Tony. In the last 15 or 20 years in Ireland, there's about 10 parties, and they went systematically through the left and they took out the definition of marriage. They took out marriage between a man and a woman. And within about 10 years after they took it out of every party, they went along to pick. And then they had a vote, and the people of Ireland, like 85%, voted for marriage between whoever you want it to be. These are like an exoskeletal system around our leaders, but they're also a defining sense of who we are, which is why, as you've said, we're never going to yield on life. We're never going to yield on the family. By the way, the family thing, we didn't have transgender 8 years ago, the last platform. We didn't have the insanity of what they're doing in law. And there's some Republicans that need to buck up and understand we're not letting this happen to our girls and our families, and we're going to describe that. So for those people that say words don't matter and the platform doesn't matter, I would question. And, you know, no less an authority than Phyllis Schlafly, in the last months of her life, she said, people may remember me for my fight against the ERA to protect the Constitution. She said the pro-life plank in the platform and what she fought for decades, she said that may be the most important thing I did, that I was involved in. That's what Phyllis thought.
It was absolutely critical as a part of moving our country to a place where we right. embrace the sanctity of human life. Of course, that work is far from done, but we're not yep. going to surrender any ground that has been gained, because we know historically that the parties follow these platforms 75% to 80% of the time. So they yep. absolutely do matter. Ed Martin, yep. I want to thank you for joining us today. And once again, thank you for bringing prayer into this, and we're going to challenge people to join us in
yeah,
that prayer.
And if people, by the way, Tony, if people want to email me directly, ed@phyllisschlafly.com, we can send them the sort of package to pray. But no matter what, you don't need what we have. Go to your Bible, read it, and pray for all of us that are doing this work, and especially for the leaders in our country.
Absolutely. Ed, good to see you.
Thank you, Tony.
And folks, we've got some links at TonyPerkins.com, and we're going to have some expanded prayer initiatives as we move into the convention. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Also, as I say, pray, but you also need to act. I'm going to have some action steps for you next. Don't go away.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at The Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. All right, so pray, vote, and stand. We need to be praying. We need to vote. That means we need to stand with those. We need to vote for those who are aligned with those biblical truths and principles, and then we need to stand for that truth. So here is how you can vote. This is how you can take a stand. Tell state Republican Party chairman to protect life in the 2024 GOP platform. Now, I'm going to have a lot more for you in the days ahead as we identify the two delegates from each state that will be on the platform. But in the meantime, I urge you to sign a petition to support to keep life in the party platform. So here's how you can do this. Text the word life to 67742. That's life to 67742. You'll get a link so that you can communicate with the chairman of the Republican parties for the states, just telling them to, hey, stand firm on life. We've got to protect life. So again, text life to 67742. All right, this is where I've got to have your help. I've got to have folks across this country standing with me, helping me, or we may lose the ground that we've gained over the last 40 decades on life and over the last 15 on the family. So again, text the word life to 67742 and be ready in the next couple of weeks to take a stand for what is true. Well, our word for today comes from 2 Samuel chapter 21. Now, there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. Now, I'm sure the media of David's day pointed to climate change as the cause of the famine. The elites were probably calling for more green energy investments and offering carbon offsets for their camels and donkeys. Okay, a little sarcastic. Look, today the idea of attributing famine, pestilence, or other natural disasters to God is ridiculed. It's easy to see how this understanding of God's power is mocked by the so-called modern mind. If God didn't create it, how can he control it? We see here that it apparently took David a little time before he inquired of the Lord about the cause of the famine, and the Lord made clear it was connected to the nation's leader at the time, Saul, breaking an oath made by Gideon centuries before. When you think about it, that's significant. What promises may our nation have broken in its nearly 250 years. Something to pray about. If you'd like to join us in our journey through the Bible, text Bible to 67742. Now, here's a question for you. Do you know what flag Justice Alito flew at his New Jersey home? Well, I would think you would. That's been all over the legacy media as the left is attempting to force him to recuse himself from cases involving former President Donald Trump. Now, the latest attack was launched last night. A left-wing activist released audio recordings from an off-the-record gala for the Supreme Court Historical Society that featured Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito and his wife, as well as Chief Justice Roberts. Now, on the recordings, Justice Alito is asked leading questions about political polarization in America. Now, this comes as the legacy media has ramped up attacks on both the Supreme Court and as an institution, and the Alitos specifically. Now, given that Justice Alito was the author of the Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade, we cannot ignore the spiritual element of the current attacks against him. Joining me now to discuss this is Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs here at the Family Research Council. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
So I'm going to play this clip because clearly it's a leading question that is being asked. Play clip number 9.
People in this country who believe in God have got to keep fighting for that, to return our country to a place of godliness.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you.
So it's kind of hard, a lot of background noise here. So she's recording probably on her phone. She was posing as a Catholic conservative when, in fact, she's agnostic. She's bisexual. She is, so-called progressive journalist. And so she's asking, and there's a whole series of these leading questions. You know, someone asks you a question, and of course, you know, he's being candid there. I agree with you. We've got to take a stand. But what does that mean? The left is playing this up that, you know, we've got to return our country to godliness. Is that some kind of threat to America?
Yeah, I mean, Tony, this is almost funny if the implications were not so dangerous for the erosion, continued erosion at tactics like this of our country. Because you listen to that recording, she's making a statement and then sort of getting him to agree with her. She's the one who made the statement.
I have people do that all the time when they're talking to you at a dinner and you can't hear. And I mean, you're going to be rude and say, no, you're wrong.
You're going to engage in conversation. Every person in this country has personal opinions.
Now,
right?
I will say this, that Justice Roberts was actually a little more confrontational in response. She tried to trap him, and he said, "No, I'm not going to go there. I don't agree."
Yeah, I mean, you know what she's going in, and the Supreme Court Historical Society, by the way, where this was taking place, is I think released a statement saying that this was a violation of trust that was understood and presented as part of the gathering, and I don't. You know, they were noting that this will result in expulsion and loss of membership for people who violate the agreement, right, that people who enter into that setting. So, you know, there's a lot of sort of stories being written about what Justice Alito supposedly agreed with or supposedly said. But there's a lot of things happen here that are not being discussed, including the tactics that occurred
right,
to
right.
get this.
So When those on the right do this, you know, they're challenged. In fact, David DeLeiden, who a number of years ago went undercover to expose Planned Parenthood, and he was charged with unlawfully secretly recording Planned Parenthood employees and got a judgment of $2.4 million against him for recording without their knowledge, which is exactly what this woman did.
Yeah, I mean, there are laws that prevent the recording of conversations unless certain conditions are met. And, you know, in DeLeiden's case, there was a civil lawsuit that was filed against him and pursued. You know, that's certainly, there's a question here about how the facts of what occurred and whether it violated the law. Now, that's different circumstances. Justice Alito is part of this and the others at the Supreme Court Historical Society gathering. But That's a relevant part of what happened here, right? So I think for believers, it's important. We look at what happened, and then you see news stories. We need to pause and not just breeze through every series of titles we see, especially when they're all almost virtually the same thing. And it's almost like you're being told something happened and it's made out to be the whole story. That's also a sign that we need to look deeper.
So a couple of things here that we need to unpack. And one is just what you brought up. As Christians in this age in which we're living, I think great discernment is needed. Now, Samuel Alito and his wife have been in the news for, I don't know, a couple of weeks now. You know, it's been about whether they flew their flag upside down, whether they flew appeal to heaven flag and what that meant, and, you know, assigning intentions to them for simply flying the appeal to heaven flag, which I've flown years before January 6th or Stop the Steal or anything like that. So they're assigning motives to them. But they're scrutinized. They're being scrutinized. And of course, people read headlines. We've got to be very discerning in this day and age not to be deceived by those who have an agenda.
That's right. And so as we look at headlines and we ask ourselves, well, how do we discern? We have to be aware of the circumstances and facts of what is occurring around the headline, outside of the headline, just observing the situation as we see it. And, you know, let's look at some of those. Why is Justice Alito, Justice Thomas, why are they the subject of so much of this? Well, what's the state of the federal government with regard to radical progressives being able to accomplish their agenda? What's standing in their way? Well, it's not the Senate. The House is holding on. It's not the presidency. It's the Supreme Court.
Right.
And so that's a fact. You know, all we're saying is that's a fact.
Well, and we've seen people that. They've been on these campaigns of dark money, and they've been campaigning around the courts. Remember Chuck Schumer, you know, out there in front of the court when Gorsuch was nominated, you know, saying that the court was sowing to the wind and they were going to reap the whirlwind.
Virtually a threat.
Right.
I mean, that's threatening language.
But let's talk more about the context that you brought up when we look at Justice Alito. And we've got, here's the other thing we have to do as Christians, Bible-believing, Jesus-following people, all right? And we don't need to apologize for that anymore. We follow Jesus, we believe the Bible, and we realize there is a spiritual realm. And I believe that what we're seeing here is a manifestation of the demonic activity stirred up because Justice Alito, this is part of it, Justice Alito was the author of the Dobbs decision, which stopped after 50 years the abortion on demand until birth in this country that was forced upon this country. Now, it didn't overturn abortion. It allowed the states and the others, the elected officials to legislate on this. But that stopped the wholesale murder with government sanctioned in this country. I believe that stirred up the demons of hell.
It absolutely did. And Justice Alito, in taking that stance, put himself in the crosshairs of anyone who desires to see that agenda continued.
But not just the individuals on the left, but the spiritual forces that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, that we wrestle not against against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And Travis, I think it's time as Christians that we recognize that there is more going on than what we see with our eyes.
That's right. And we position ourselves rightly with regard to being able to address what you just described, Tony, and that is understanding Ephesians 6, understanding our scriptures, understanding who we are in the power of the Holy Spirit to take on, in the authority of Christ, forces that are afflicting our country, afflicting the people of our country, whether they recognize it or not, afflicting our people for evil and for ill.
So let's talk about how we respond to this. When we see let's kind of walk people through, how do we respond? All of a sudden we see these headlines. We want to connect the dots, as we've just done here. So how do we respond to that?
Yeah, so I think one, it's aligning ourselves with the mind of Christ and with the scriptures, right? We have to position ourselves within that lane. Now, we read a story like this. We're just talking to the Lord about it. We're praying about it. We're asking him, Lord, how do I perceive and understand this? And if we're not sure, we wait on the Lord. We don't rush out with our opinion before waiting before the Lord.
So we need to take these matters in prayer.
We do.
And so for that process of discernment, part of that is praying and asking as a follower of Christ, and that's who I'm speaking to right now. You know, we have the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, who leads us. And so we need to pray through these things. And by the way, that's a part of our app, the Stand Firm app, is that if you don't have the app, you can get the app. And even for news articles, it has a little button there where you push to pray. Because we want you to pause. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I believe, Travis, we need to be, when we see someone like Justice Alito, not saying he's perfect, I'm not perfect, but when we see these stories, we need to be praying for him and his family and say, Lord, what's this about? Show us what this is about. Protect him from any unjust force that's coming against him.
Right, right. And if we look at the timing of this, you know, these smears are trickling out at certain times. We have to remember as well, the Dobbs decision draft was leaked as well. So we don't know what is making its way out of the court that shouldn't be right now. We have to remember the context in which this is being placed. There are forces that do not want to see conservative and God-honoring policies and principles upheld.
Well,
put it in that.
Part of what's driving this latest round, stirring it up, is the fact that Donald Trump may have a case before the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. And the timing of trying to delegitimize Justice Alito or anyone else who would have a hand in that, how can we avoid that conclusion when you look at what happened to President Trump up in New York? You have to understand these things are within a context of an effort and it's not just happening in a vacuum. It's happening
right.
In the context of forces
yeah, absolutely
at work.
Right. So we've got to see it holistically, both in the political, the physical realm that we
right.
see, but also as Christians understanding there is a spiritual realm.
I mean, right.
Look, people can make fun of that. They can mock it. But if you're a Bible-believing Christian, Paul lays that out in Ephesians chapter 6. And so, you know, Justice Alito is not going to recuse himself, but by all this noise, all these allegations, it would be very difficult for the Chief Justice to turn to him to write an opinion.
It certainly is it may affect that, and there's an effort certainly to affect that, right? So as God's people, you know, Tony, we're talking about how do believers navigate these. We need to remember that we are God's representatives to minister the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth, knowing him, ministering him, living as Christ to those around us. I mean, standing for the things God stands for, praying for them, asking the Lord to intercede and work, and being Christ to those around us. Whether, look, they may write us off, but we're commanded by the Lord to minister his presence to those around us.
We need to pray. We need to vote. We need to stand.
Right.
We need to be salt and light in this moment that God has entrusted to us.
Right.
Travis Weber, always great to see you. Thanks so much for coming in the studio
thank
today.
You.
And folks, I want to thank you for joining us as well. It's always great to have you with us. Be sure and check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and download the Stand Firm app. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.